You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Survival Show right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, the 5th day of January in the year of our Lord 2019, our first show for 2019, and we hope everybody's having a really good day. A few quick announcements, and then we're going to go straight for callers. We've got Jerry in Texas waiting on line 3, and we'll get to him in just a second. Okay, folks, we have started, as of the first of the year, putting out a midweek video. We will post to YouTube every Wednesday evening. I think it's going to run between 15 and 25 minutes the way the first one went. But if you want to see these videos, what you do is go to the website, ruralsurvival.show, mouse over archives, and you'll see the second link down says YouTube. That will bring up our YouTube channels page. And the YouTube video that shows the newest one is always top left. Click on that. You can watch the video. Your comments are most welcome. We're also going to continue. We're going to start again posting the shows completely, this show, the live show, on YouTube. We did that last week. We're getting more views than we usually do, so we're going to keep that up. But really would appreciate that if you guys would take a look at that and see what you think. If you don't like it, don't watch it. As you know, folks, we are viewer-supported. But there are several ways other than sending us some money, but we do appreciate that you can support us. And you can see that list on the link at ruralsurvival.show that says support needed. Now, I won't even talk about the money. But if you're going to Amazon to shop for anything, please use our link to get there. Now, any effect whatsoever on what you pay, but we'll get a small commission. Now, if you'll like and subscribe to our videos, that will really help us also. We get enough subscribers, then we'll start getting some income from our videos. Right now, we get nothing. But the most important thing is to share our videos tell your friends and family about them, if you like them or if you don't like them. Another way you can help us is we're always looking for computer stuff. Right now we need one more widescreen monitor, 21-inch or better, that have DVI connectors. We could use a 1 terabyte SATA hard drive or better, or bigger, I mean, so we can do better backups on our system. We lose this system, we're sunk. We've got so much invested in it. But, you know, like I said, there's other ways you can help us besides money. You want to throw some money our way and you can actually afford to do it, that would be very, very appreciated. All right, now we're going to go to Jerry in Texas on line 3, one of our favorite callers.
I was beginning to worry about him. Well, it's kidding season around here. We've had a lot of rain and the bottle babies and, you know, all this stuff. Man, we had a winter wonderland about 3 days ago now, I guess. We had eyes all over everything for about 36, 48 hours. It didn't freeze on the ground. It was 31, 32 degrees. No, we didn't. We didn't lose power. They did in the western part of Lampasas County, which ironically, y'all find this is true rural survival. Communicate a bunch of us on a 2 meter repeater over in the western part of the county. They lost power over there. The repeater went down. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Now, that's not enough. We're totally on cell phone here where we live. Cell phone tower died on us. So guess what we had in the ways of communication? Simplex
radio.
Simplex ham radio. I could hit the repeaters far away, but at least we could communicate.
Right.
So pretty cool, guys. Pretty cool. So y'all put that in your to-do list, you know, round to it bucket, and try to keep it on the top so y'all can do that, everyone. I want to wish y'all the best and most prosperous New Year. Try to do things a little different. Happy New Year. Everybody says that. And did we give any thought about what that is? So the best and the most prosperous to you all.
Thank you, Jerry.
And,
thank you.
Two things that I want to talk about on chickens and rabbits.
Okay.
It's kind of a quandary for me.
Sure.
Chickens, you can free range. They forage. If you get them trained well enough at where they'll lay in a designated area, i.e. a nest, that you can go and gather the eggs. As a matter of fact, my wife used to open the back door, and we had a hen come in and scratch around on the floor and pick up things. And one morning, mid-morning, I went into the bedroom, and there was an egg right in the middle of our bed, still warm. I tell a friend of ours about that, and he sat there a minute, real dry sense of humor. He said, breakfast in bed. So anyway, I thought that. You know what boneless chicken is, don't you?
A what?
Boneless chicken. Yeah,
boneless
we know
chicken.
What boneless chicken is, but I want to hear your definition.
It's boiled eggs.
There you
That's
go.
It.
And old store back down south of San Antonio had a little old wicker basket up there with a little gingham napkin in it, and had a sign behind it said "Boneless Chicken, dollar a piece." And I said, "What in the world? This oh goodness, this has been 20 years ago." And I walked over and looked in there, and it had hard boiled eggs. I said, "Well, that's about as boneless as you can get, you know." But
that would be hopefully. Yeah.
Chickens and rabbits. I got off the main topic here.
Well, you're doing
Here's
fine.
The problem. If we get in a grid down deal, I use grid down where we got to worry about the
supply problems.
John Moore says, by the way, if you've never read that Lights Out by I can't remember his first name, but Crawford. The setting is southeast of San Antonio, just out on the suburbs. It's really interesting. I'd recommend that to anyone. But anyway, back to the deal.
What's the name of it one more
time,
Jerry?
Lights Out.
Lights Out, okay.
Lights Out. I was able to get it free. He had it posted on a website. He wrote it and had it open for a while where anybody could get it. And I downloaded it. I don't know where it's at, but I've got it on a CD somewhere. But people contributed to editing and ideas and what have you. And it deals with the EMP situation, which I think that we're going to have a grid down situation where it's economically, the Patriot with James Wesley Riles or whatever. Our infrastructure is going to go to the dogs, but anyway.
That would be, that'd be Rawls, James Wesley Rawls, yes, chickens.
Yeah, chickens, they're self-sustaining. You can get out and forage. They got meat. They procreate, all this stuff. But they make a lot of noise. It's going to draw attention to you.
Sure.
You know, that's the quandary I'm in. Rabbits, they're quiet. They're fast procreators. You're going to have to keep them confined to some degree. You're going to have to feed them. Chickens also, your food source is going to be a problem either way. Now, y'all know I grow fodder. I use oats, and 8 days I've got a very viable food. Everybody but my dogs love it. Chickens, rabbits, guineas, goats, you name it, rabbits. Right. And it's great.
Gary, let me interrupt just a second. Now, I was just thinking, before you ever mentioned guineas, how well we've done with them in the past. Now, there's a trick to raising guineas. A real trick to it. But you can raise guineas incredibly fast, and they're an incredible food source. They are excellent eating. Now,
yeah, if you get them early enough, they get awfully tough awfully quick.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, guys. A guinea has to be confined for you to get the eggs. They drop eggs everywhere. Also, they will, some will, but some won't, brood their eggs. In other words, you really need to use an incubator. What a guinea will do after the eggs hatch, the babies follow those guineas, the mother guineas, everywhere. But the mother guineas don't pay attention to the babies. And they lose them. You get a dozen babies hatched, you'll be very lucky to get one adult. So you've got to take
the best way, the best and easiest way to raise teats, that's the baby guinea, is put the eggs underneath a sitting hen. That hen will hatch those eggs, and they will sit there and they'll dote over those babies just like they will chicks. And our, so far as raising them other than in a cage and confined, a good old brooding mother hen will raise them just as good or better than you can, with a lot less hassle.
Well, that's true. That is true if you've got a broody hen. But what I was able to do, Gary, now this is 15 years ago. I bought a dozen teats, okay, raised them up, kept them all. Actually, I didn't lose a single one. And there are some tricks to doing that, too. But we went in 2 years, a dozen teats that I started with, over 175 adult guinea fowl. In 2 years. And I was kind of proud of myself for doing that.
Well, you know, a six-month-old guinea here, you can get 10 to 20 bucks for them. People will buy them to put on their plates because they're so hard to raise. You know, you can get hatchlings all day long, and they're not inexpensive, but you can get them. But, again, you know, you said there's a way to raise guineas. It's work.
Yes.
Any way you cut it, it's work. Unless you've got some good broody hens. And but chickens, like I say, they're easy. When you look for chickens, I recommend you get a all around chicken. Now I'm sure I've told you this more than once on this show. The Osterlorp is an excellent chicken. There's two or three other breeds out there. Osterlorp are good tasty chickens to eat. They're good foragers. The hens are good at brooding, and they'll raise babies and what have you. So you know, and they're good layers. So
you're still talking about the black. You're still talking about the black Osterlorp.
The black Osterlorp.
Okay. Yeah, okay. One of my favorite chickens.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's not black on a black Osterlorp is their coat. Their beak, everything is black. But the meat is fantastic. If you butcher one of them that's just a sharp few months old.
What are you calling that thing again?
It's black.
Black Osterlorp.
Osterlorp.
Oh. Yeah.
O-S-T-E-R-L. Help me out, Tim.
If it's A-U-S-T-E-R-L. A-U-S-T-O-R-L-O-P-E, I think.
If you Google that, it'll probably get closer. That'll be close enough, it'll find it. They were developed in Australia. They're Orpington and... I forget what the LARP is, but it's Orpington something crossbreed that has become a heritage, or what they call it, heirloom type chicken, if you will.
And when I buy chickens up at Cackle Hatchery, I buy two things, Buff Orpingtons and Black Ostroms. And if they cross, it's still a good chicken.
Oh, I watched a video this week of a guy who bought out of Cackle Hatchery. He bought 10 Osterlorp eggs, got 11. They gave him 11, which is nice, which is a baker's dozen. And he shoved them up under a broody hen and managed to walk away with 6, which he thought was didn't make it. But 6 did, and that's how he didn't even use them. An incubator or anything. He just pushed them up under a hen that wanted to sit and did pretty well.
That's inexpensive. You know, a hen will turn those eggs and they'll control that temperature and whatever. Put them under a good brooding hen, you don't have to worry about them. You just keep. Now, FYI, it's 28 days instead of 21 days for guineas.
That's correct.
Keep that in mind, folks, if you're going to try that.
It's harder to tell on a guinea egg if they've gone bad than it is on a chicken or duck or goose egg or turkey egg. You know,
well, I guarantee you, though, that old hen will kick it out, though.
That's right. They will.
Yeah, if it goes bad, they'll kick it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy.
They did that in the video, and the guy was... got it on his hands, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, well, believe me.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I picked them up out of the incubator, and just by touching them, have them explode.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to, gently clean all the other eggs.
Right.
Rory, how many chickens did we hatch when we were going full bore? Like 500-600 a year? I think that's what it is. We got two incubators. If I fill them both up, we can hatch 1,000 at a time.
Wow. It takes energy. It takes time. Just get some good old broody hens and let them do all the work. And then when they hatch, they'll take care of them. All you have to do is put a little...
Oh, I agree.
Right.
But I ain't seen a hen put 1,000 eggs under, Jerry.
you do that in stages with several hens. But anyway.
We would take the baby chicks when they were, we'd wait until they were 2 weeks old or so. And we'd take them up to, they have a small animal auction every month here in town. You know, it's a cattle auction place, but they have a small animal thing. And
works for me.
There was a while we were getting $3 a chick, but then that dropped.
Oh, I believe it.
Maybe we flooded the market.
And of course, guineas, folks, is good for pest control, grasshoppers and, ticks.
Oh, yeah.
Up near the neck of the woods, particularly, you've got that spotted tick with tick fever is, I think, a certain tick fever that's probably a consideration up there. Now, so far as feeding, Rick, go to your local meat butcher, beer processor, if you've got one, and pick up a carcass. And throw that out there for those chickens and guineas, they'll pick those bones clean, and you'll be surprised at the color of the egg yolk and the flavor of those eggs, especially in the wintertime when there's not a lot of bugs. Here it is. How many do you want? The situation for me. I've got to figure out how to smoke and keep a bunch of these carcasses that I got. I don't want to salt them. I want to preserve them. My chickens and my pigs.
I'm not sure is that even possible? I don't know.
It's got to be.
Yeah,
the Native Americans, you make jerky and what, Abby? You strip that meat and smoke it.
Guys, we got a break.
Don't,
we got a break.
Stay there, Jerry.
All right. Thank you for your call, Jerry. When we're come back, we're going to go to Art on line 11. Call back anytime, okay. Jerry. Thank you.
And have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to Rural Survival here on RBN. Just a quick reminder that if you have any problems when you go to our website, you can always email us at tim.ann.laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at ruralsurvival.show to let us know if you're having any issues with the site. And we have Art on line 11. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, everyone. Just real quick, I tried to log on to your website a little while ago, and it told me for some reason couldn't connect to the server. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, just want to let you know that real quick.
Well, it might have been just temporary. I'm there now.
Okay, probably just temporary.
And he hit reload and sees it's working.
Anyway,
yeah, it's working.
I was going to kind of talk about rabbits, but the topic seems to be focused more on the chickens and the guineas. So I'll share my personal experience. This is what I did when I was in Kentucky, helping some folks set up their place, and what I did out in Missouri, helping some folks set up, which unfortunately they didn't take care of the place out in Missouri, so it went to crap. But what I do is, I like to do guineas and chickens together. And what I'll do is I'll buy like 24 chicks, baby chicks, and then I'll buy 24 guinea chicks. And I'll raise them up together. I don't separate my birds. And there's a reason why I do this. I raise them up together so that they don't realize that there's, you know, two different kinds of birds in here. They all think they're all the same thing. So what will end up happening is the guineas will end up nesting or roosting right along with the chickens.
Correct.
And so what I do is I have a small pen and a chicken house. At
right.
night, everybody goes in the house. It gets locked up. Now, I can go to sleep tonight and know that my birds are safe. In
right.
the morning, I will come out. Do not feed them. Just open the gate. Let them go. But that's when they're old enough to roam. They're going to be six
right.
months old before I ever even think about letting them out of the pen to free range. But I'll come out, open up the gate, open up the door, walk away, and they're on their own all day long. What I'll do is, at the end of the evening, just as the sun is starting to drop down behind the tree line, I'll go out and I'll, by the time they're 8 or 9 months old, they've gotten into a habit of coming back every evening. And they'll follow
right.
me right onto the pen, throw down their food, close up the pen. I'll come out later after it's gotten dark, close the door, and now everybody's locked up. The reason I do this is because guineas will naturally roam and wander. And so that's how you're going to end up losing a lot of your birds over time, is they're just going to wander off and they're not going to come back. But if you raise
yeah.
them up with the chickens and you get them used to this schedule, they will come back every evening. Now, also what they're doing is I've noticed for the most part, they'll end up dropping their eggs right there somewhere in the yard because they're hanging out with the chickens. So every day I just walk around and I look for eggs, pick them up, carry them right in, set them into the nest, and that's it. I'm done because I got my broody hens are going to take care of it.
We call that Easter.
What breed of chicken do you have?
I like the Black Ocelot.
Me too.
I like the Barred Rock.
I like them too. I sort of prefer the Buff Orpington though. Now,
those are nice birds.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Now, I did exactly the same thing. This is way before I lost my leg and everything. But I used to do exactly what you described. Now, when those guineas hit about 2 years old, even though they've been doing it for a year and a half, they quit going in with the chickens, and they would roost in a big oak tree we have right above the chicken house. And come about, 10 minutes after the sun went down, for 10 or 15 minutes, it would be a cacophony of guinea shrieks. I mean, it was bad enough. Neighbor a quarter mile away was complaining to me. You know, it was that bad. But I don't know why they broke off going in with the chickens, but they did. But to me,
yeah,
I loved it. I didn't care how much noise they made.
It's the whole idea of this free food that always gets them to come back into the pen so I can lock them up at night. And that way I don't
right.
end up losing them. I don't know why yours started roosting up in the tree. Did you have a pen with a
yeah.
house attached to the pen?
Yes. Actually, we got the house. And we got two pens attached to it.
Huh, that's odd. I don't get that. That's very odd.
You know,
but also, too,
one is pretty much for ducks and geese, and the other for chicken and guineas.
Oh, there you go. And another thing on the food thing, what I found, if you're free-ranging, now, of course, it's going to depend on where you live. I lived out in Missouri for a while, so I've spent a few winters out there, so I know what the winters are like over around
yeah.
the Raw area.
Right. Which I'm 35 miles
from. Right around in that area. So I know what the winters are like there, and it's pretty, once you get it figured out, it's pretty easy to figure it. But as you get into colder climates, it's not quite as easy to do. But like here in Georgia where I'm at.
Okay, guys, if you guys can hold on for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to Real Survival here on RBN. We are speaking with Art. Go ahead, Art.
Anyway, what I was going to say was on the feeding part. People will generally, they'll look at, why are you getting 2 dozen chickens? Well, because you're going to end up with an awful lot of roosters in this bunch. And
that's right.
You might as well eat them. And what I try to do is I try to call my flock down to generally 12 hens and 2 roosters. Because I like to keep the 6-to-1 ratio there. That's 6-to-1 ratio is really healthy for your birds.
That way you don't wind up with dead hens from overbreeding, too.
Exactly. And that's how I'll do that. But I found that with 14 birds, that's 12 hens and 2 roosters, during the winter months, and actually even during the summer, during the winter, of course, you're going to feed them a little bit more because it's winter. But during the average run, if 12 birds, if you're free-ranging like this, like we're talking about doing, at the end of the day, when your birds come into the pen, because inside that pen's where you're going to throw that feed down for them, if 14 birds are eating more than 3 to 4 cups of feed in the evening, either you're feeding them too much or they're not getting enough natural. But if there's enough growing naturally, they're going to be full belly by the end of the day. The only reason you're going to throw that feed down is because it's something they don't get regular. And generally, as a rule, I think crumbles work really good for this.
Oh, I agree. Oh, I absolutely agree. 21% protein is what we use.
Right, and it's a nice, yummy, delicious, tasty treat along with freeze-dried mealworms. And if this is what you use at the end of the evening, you're going to have some very happy, very healthy birds.
I agree.
But that's how I do it.
Well, it's how you got a handle on this, Art. You know, I wouldn't call myself a professional because I don't get paid for it anymore, but I used to be. And, you know, You have definitely got a handle on this. There's no question about that. Now, where Rick lives, he can't allow them to free range, but he is doing doggone good on chickens. There's no question about that. He's raising his wonderfully.
Yeah, you definitely have to be in the right situation to free range. I mean, either you're going to have one really, really big yard, or you need to be out in the country somewhere with a decent-sized piece of property. And, of course, it doesn't hurt if the neighbors don't care that you've got these birds running loose if you have any neighbors. Fortunately, well, I live in a situation where I don't have to worry about it.
Well, I don't either. But Rick has this chicken house that I think he can make more money with by renting it out to eight illegals. and I think they'd be quite happy.
Well, they've been known to pack a dozen in a small space.
Right. Well, his isn't that small. I wonder what they pay a month.
I think about $2 a person a month. That'd be great.
Yeah, there you go. But if we got time on the issue of the rabbits,
let's go.
You can free range. I don't know. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can free range rabbits, folks. And I'm telling you what, you go to free range and rabbits, you're gonna save some serious money.
Right.
I saw rabbit tractors as well. I don't know how that works, but there are people running rabbit tractors as well.
Right. Well, rabbit tractors are really good, but the problem with a rabbit tractor is you have to go out there, you have to move it. And, of course, there's maintenance and upkeep and all this. What I do is I will have my breeders. Now, my breeders are caged up. They have a nice little, each one will have its own nice little domicile, be very comfortable. When I'm ready, I bring the girl to the boy, and I let them do their thing. And, you know, and I'll try to have enough where I can turn over my bunnies every 2 years, because I'm not going to breed them like you were talking, turn them over every year. I'm going to turn mine over every 2 years, but I'm going to have enough buck and enough doe that I'm not going to have to breed them so hard. I can do like two each rabbit per year, like each doe twice a year. But I'm going to have enough rabbits where I'm going to be able to do that, and that's going to require at least six doe and two buck. Because if you have a buck to three doe to a buck, two to three doe to a buck is good. So if you got six doe and two buck, you're doing really good. And that way you only have to breed your females twice a year, so you can run them for 2 years. See how that works?
If you're only feeding one person with that number of rabbits, that works.
Right. This is just me by myself.
Right.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to breed all of my females all at the same time.
Right,
breed
exactly.
Them all at the same time. And then when the babies are about 3 months old, I'm going to take them out and put them in a big old pen by themselves, just the babies all together, in a big, huge pen, like a 20 by 20. Get them used to being like that. And then when they're about 4 months, after about a month, I just open up the gate and let them out, let them free range. They do their own thing. There's no need to feed them, no need to nothing. They just go wild.
You don't have to
but
worry about
hawks.
You
want to be really careful if you're going to do this, what type of rabbit you use.
You don't have to worry about hawks or coyotes or foxes or anything like that?
Well, yeah, you do. But the thing is, by the time you're at this point where you're cutting them loose, because remember, you're going to get really personal acquainted with these rabbits. And you want
right.
to get personally acquainted. Like you said, don't build a lasting relationship, but you want to be able to go out and pick them up and hold them.
Oh, I agree.
This way, they're going to stay in your yard. They're also being raised up around the dogs. The dogs are being raised around the rabbits. And guess what you got going on now?
You got dogs protecting rabbits.
Yeah. So you don't have to really worry about predators coming in to get your bunnies because your dogs are your security guards.
Right. Well, we still have a problem with hawks, even though the dogs do that. Now, I'm referring to ducks, not rabbits. I actually watched out my front yard, a couple of months ago. We had a No, I'm sorry. It was a chicken, not a duck. I apologize. It was a white chicken. And hawk came down. Dog saw it coming. They went running and barking. Hawk hit the chicken, killed it. And the dogs ran off the hawk. But they just weren't quick enough. But we still have losses like that. And I watched this one happen.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have that. There's no way you're going to stop it completely. But as far as, like, any kind of ground predator, the dogs are going to cover that. The only thing you cannot, I don't care what you do, unless you put them in a pen with some kind of top on it, you cannot
right.
keep aerial predators away. You're not
well,
going
we,
to do
our
it.
Our pens have tops.
And
it was
they
a
should.
Pain in the butt, but
and they should.
They have tops.
But, yeah, if you're going to free range, you got to expect you're going to lose some to the aerial predators. You just can't stop them. But it is a really good way of doing your rabbits where you have plenty of meat, but you're cutting down on your expense of feed because once they're on the ground, you're never going to have to feed them again. And also, too, if you've got a big enough area, you can pretty
right.
much, you really don't even need to worry about rabbit feed if you've got enough of an area where you can harvest the wild plants and the wild flowers and all the different kinds of greens that they would eat in the natural territories. And that's what I
right.
do is I'll go out with a wheelbarrow and I'll come back with a full wheelbarrow. And this is every morning. I'll go out with a wheelbarrow
right.
and a pair of scissors and I'll fill that wheelbarrow up. And I'll bring it back, and I'll just walk from one cage to the next and just grab a handful and just stick it in there. And they love it. They love it.
Oh, yeah.
And then the rabbit
you get a cheap bale or two of good
alfalfa.
Hay. They love that, too.
Yep, good alfalfa.
Yep.
Alfalfa and Timothy are your two best.
Oh, I agree.
But, yeah, you're going to cut it way back. And then your rabbit pellets basically is just a nice little tasty treat.
Right. Well,
you know,
if I understand things correctly, I wish my daughter was out here. I could ask her. She's the rabbit expert. I'm the chicken expert.
I love rabbits.
I love them too.
But, I love rabbits.
You know, there's
you can
one
do
thing
you
got to watch.
Rabbits.
Which you. Yeah.
Another really cool thing you can do. Is plant two or three locust trees on the back far side of your property because those big, huge bean pods that they drop, rabbits
right.
love them. Rabbits love them. So that's another
well, we got
really good thing you
trees.
Can do to your bunnies.
We definitely got the locusts. Every time I drive my, or well, it used to be when I drive my tractor, I can't anymore, but
right.
I'd end up with a flat front tire from them locust tree thorns almost every time.
Yep, absolutely. Another really good thing if you're going to free-range rabbits, and even if you keep them in a cage, is have some apple trees on your property. Go
yeah,
out and every
those.
Once in a while, clip a small limb, just a small branch.
Yeah, my daughter used to do that a lot. In fact, well, that's right, we don't have any rabbits anymore. But the one or two times I've done any... Oops, we got a break. Oh, wait.
No.
Oh, we don't have a break.
Okay.
What were you saying, Lori?
No. Actually, our rabbits like the redbud tree.
Oh, yeah, they do. I forgot about that. They love redbud.
No, see,
especially
I,
in the spring.
Well, we don't have any redbud here, so that's something I never even thought about. But also something else, and if people are going to have rabbits and chickens... Folks, listen very carefully because this is serious. Do
I know
not,
where we're
okay.
going,
you
and I agree.
You can free range your rabbits and your chickens together. Let them run the yard together.
Yes.
It's fine. But do not allow your chickens to get on top of your rabbit hutch.
Okay, now this is a new one on me. Go ahead.
I don't know what it is, but something in the chicken poop can make your rabbits really sick or kill them.
Histoplasmosis, probably.
It's probably what it is, but that's why you never let your chickens get up on top of your rabbit hutches. I've never had a problem with them running around on the ground together. It's when they get up on top of the hutches that I seem to have the problem.
Oh, wow. Now, this is something I didn't know, Art. I love doing this show because I learn new stuff. Did you know that, Rick? Okay, we might have lost Rick.
That's possible.
No, you didn't lose Rick. I was experimenting with musical instruments. Sorry about that.
I did not know
that, but I will tell you that unless I'm mistaken, it's a lot easier to get than you would think.
Oh, it is.
I think.
You
clean the coop in the sun, which is a good sunny day, and when we're done, we're going to do it. You'll see these what look like fibers floating everywhere. And
yes.
Trust me, you're breathing that, and you don't want to breathe that. Although if you do, I'm going to tell you, better get yourself some colloidal silver fast, otherwise you're going to cough your brains. But, no, I did not know that. I did not know that rabbits would be susceptible to such a thing.
I didn't either. You learn something new every day doing this show.
Well, I learned about it the hard way because all my rabbits started getting sick and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And there was a guy,
right.
A buddy of mine happened to be over at the house one day and we got to talking and he says, are your rabbits, are your chickens getting up on top of your rabbit hutches? I said, yeah. He says, there's your problem right there. So that's how I found out about it.
Okay.
But, when I clean the coop, what I do when I clean out my chicken coop is I pull the water hose out. And I put my little spray nozzle on there, and
smart.
I turn it to a mist, and I mist everything inside that coop. And guess what?
That's
I don't
smart,
get?
Art.
I don't get the dust.
Yeah. Well, we're pretty careful, and like I said, it's because of personal experience. My adopted mother almost died of histoplasmosis, and it was because of getting in there when I was little and cleaning the chicken house, according to the doctors. They had her at Bethesda Naval Hospital and everything else, and she was in the hospital for months. And the antibiotics they gave her, now remember this is 50 years ago, folks, the antibiotics they gave her made her deaf. And
wow.
They were so strong.
Wow.
So that's the reason we're so aware of it here, because we've seen what it does.
Well, I've never had it, but, you know, I know somebody was telling me about their brother or someone had gotten it, and just the way they described it scared me enough to take precautions.
Right. And it should, honestly.
I mean, because it sounds like a really bad, bad time, and it's just not something I'm interested in experiencing. So that's what got me into the habit of going out and just turning the water stick, my little water nozzle on mist, and mist everything so that it eliminates the dust. And now I just get out with my rake and all of that and clean everything up, load it in the wheelbarrow, pull it off back on the far side over in a corner somewhere, and I dump it, and I just let it rot out to compost, and we're good to go.
Right, and we actually use that compost in the garden after it's sat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and something else too, folks that are interested in raising rabbits. The really cool thing about rabbits, and you get this with rabbits, goats, any animal that drops pellets straight from the cage to the garden, no need to compost.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And also,
but this is pellet only.
I something else on those pellets. You know, chickens eat them and they love it.
Well, I've never that I didn't know about.
Yeah, they love it, and it's good for them.
Hey, who am I to argue, right? But anyway, hey guys, been great. Enjoyed it, but I'm sure you got other callers and other things to get onto.
Yeah, so we got one more. Jerry called back on line 3, and we're going to try to get him in before the breaker real quick.
All right,
but
y'all
thank
have
you
a great
for your call, Art. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Jerry,
have a great weekend.
Jerry, real quick, buddy. We only got about a minute.
Hello, it's Jerry again. Coccidiosis is the problem. Coccidiosis. That's what chickens have, especially in wet
time it, or we get to when it rains, and that's yeah, they'll pass it on through the feces to the rabbits, to goats. I lost a calf when I was in high school due to coccidiosis. So it is, that's probably what Art was talking about with the chicken roosting over the rabbit cages. Something, you know, rabbits are ruminants.
Right.
But they, their cud is actually in their poop. Some of their pellets are actually their cud that they pick up and reheat. Think about that for a while, all right? But,
okay. Gee, thanks.
Yum, yum, huh? Hey, rabbits are a lot easier to dress up to me than chicken. By the way.
Jerry, we're done for today. Thank you for your call, buddy.
Thank you.
Really
have a good week.
Thanks, Jerry. You too.
We're going to try to get Jimmy from New Mexico in real quick for about a minute after the break.
Yeah, go ahead.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. We only have a few minutes, but we did want to take one more call. Jimmy from Desert Eagle in New Mexico on line 11. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, hello, everybody. I've been trying for the last hour to try to get in and getting recordings. There's no one available, so I don't know what's going on with the phone system.
Me neither.
Rick.
just a very popular.
You, sir.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
You have referred to using DMSO before.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sure.
And I am working with a new component for my cancer treatment and everything.
Yeah. Okay.
And they talk about using the DMSO to get it into the system. If you get a chance later today or this evening, can you call me and talk to me about that? Because I really don't understand how to use it.
My privilege.
Well, I use it on my stump, Jimmy.
Okay, well, they think I may have a new mass.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, folks. Didn't mean for that word to come out.
Yeah, well, that's the word we use for bad news. Jimmy, I can call you in a while. Sure, of course I can.
Okay. Thank you. And Tim, you give me a shout sometime, too.
Will do, buddy.
Thanks,
all
Jimmy.
Right, folks,
have a good weekend, hon.
We need
Happy
to wrap
new year,
it up.
New show.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, final comments.
None really. We'll talk next week about the list of lists. Very helpful. List of lists, the list that we might be able to use to gather up some things at a last minute, but not today.
Okay, Ori.
First of all, I'll just say, Mike in Kentucky, sorry we couldn't get to your call this week, but give us a call next weekend. And, you know, just want to tell all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless, and you guys have a wonderful and safe weekend.
And, folks, please do check out ruralsurvival.show. I'm not bragging, but I am proud of the site. Looks great, works great from everything I can see. Server is up. I don't know what the glitch was that Art had, but it is up and running. If you guys take a look at that show and like and subscribe to our videos and share our videos, it'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. Because we're running on a shoestring here. There's no question about that. You know, I agonize over decisions whether or not to buy another light for the camera. So if that tells you anything. But with that one donation from November, we were able to really, really upgrade. Got a great new camera. It's HD. The video should be better. Desk mic for better audio. And I think things are going to work out well on these videos. I just need everybody to like and subscribe and share, especially share.
I can do that.
So this show will be up in about 8 hours, probably. It takes 5 hours to render. And our Wednesday show will be up on schedule unless something goes wrong here, like no power or something breaking on the computer. But we're going to make a real dedicated effort to put out lots of good information this year.
And Mike, call in at 11 next time. Call in at 11. We'll get you in.
Yep. All right, folks. Well, it's been a great, quick show. We hope everybody has a fantastic weekend and week. Stay safe. And God rest the souls of Jefferson Davis and General Robert E. Lee. And God bless our great country.
Thanks.
Thank you, folks. That's it.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-877-877. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendova.